glow pink in the night in my room. I've been blossoming alone over you. And I hear my heart breaking tonight. I hear my heart breaking tonight. Ooh, do you hear it too? It's like a summer shower with every drop of rain singing, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you.
Radio here on Radio Free Brooklyn. That means you live from the studio. This is a show about drinking, eating, cooking, recipes, anything that's on your plate, on your table. I'm your host Amanda, and I'm here every Sunday at 5 on Radio Free Brooklyn. What you heard at the beginning of the show was Pink in the Night by Mitski. A little hint towards the topic of today's show, which is Valentine's Day and sort of all things romance and food related. I did do a show last year on this topic. It is on the archives on reciprocityradio.com. It's like Pink Drinks and More is the name of that episode. Which talked a lot about the history of confections and rosé, pink gin, all kinds of fun romantic things. But we're going to continue that today, I hope. And I'm just, I'm excited to be here. The backing track is a karaoke version of More Little Woman by the Bee Gees. I just came from a Galentine's Day brunch. It was wonderful and I had such a great time. And I'm feeling a little feeling a little happy. I definitely had some Prosecco. So, thank you so much for tuning in to Radio Free Brooklyn. Whether or not you're into Valentine's Day, it is fun to talk about the relationship between romance and food and sexuality and food. It's definitely a strong connection, so it's something I hope to explore today a little bit, and then of course we'll just talk about all kinds of fun things. Anyway, thanks for tuning in. One of my favorite things, I'm just going to do this one off the bat, since this is a very like Prosecco and orange juice, or Prosecco and grapefruit juice, heavy and absolutely beautiful brunch. Let's talk about one of my favorite myths. It is the myth of the coupe glass. It's a correct champagne glass. It's a kind of shallow, curved thing, and it, according to lore, it was shaped after Marie Antoinette's breasts, which I think is so funny and adorable. It's a great, really great anecdote. So let's find out about that a little bit right now. It is rumored, of course, that it was Marie Antoinette, but there are many, many, many other claims to whose breast was actually the model of the glass, whether or not that's true. I love that this is a thing that women vied to be known for. Who wouldn't? Although, honestly, there'd be so many different types of glasses. Maybe someone should start that company. I don't know. Anyway, amorous... amorous accoutrement? Amorous... I don't know. We'll see. Let's see if I can start that Kickstarter up. Anyway, Marie Antoinette, who was alive from 1755 to 1793, claims as wife of Louis the... I'm horrible at Roman numerals. I'm so sorry. 16 of... and famed for La Famille cake, was said to have had champagne glasses fashioned from casts of her breasts so that courtiers could drink to her health from them. Madame du Pompadour, who lived from 1721 to 1764, was the mistress of Francis Louis XV, and supposedly had the glasses crafted as a special gift to her imperial lover, who was said to have greatly admired her breasts and longed to be able to drink champagne from them. Madame du Barry, 1743 to 1793, was the same story as Madame Pompadour, although she was the mistress, and just a different mistress to Louis XV, who was a busy guy, apparently. Empress Josephine, 1763 to 1814, the wife of Napoleon, had a great fondness for bubbly, and so apparently this legend was also attributed to her. It was Diane de Poitiers, the mistress of Henry II, who was said to have commissioned a glassblower at their Chateau de Dernay to make a set of glasses contoured to her breasts as a present to Henry II, who was particularly enamored of her breasts and harbored a fancy to drink wine from them. Apparently this is a thing in France. I did not know. Sorry about that. In other versions of the tale, Henry was the one who came up with this idea, and the mold was only of her left breast, not the right one. This is also attributed to Helen of Troy, who was said to possess the face that launched 1,000 ships, as we all know, and was a reference to her husband, Menelaus, coming after her and her lover, Paris, with the force of thousands. It is said that Paris made wax molds of her breasts and then used those molds to make drinking glasses. None of the famed beauty's breast tales actually do hold up. Champagne was invented in the 17th century when a Benedictine monk discovered a way to trap bubbles of carbon dioxide in wine. And as for the glass, it was designed and made in England for champagne around 1663. And a chronology that rules out Du Barry, Du Pompadour, Josephine, and Marie Antoinette, all of whom were born long after the coup came into existence. So I'm sure it's probably coup. As for the rest, it's either way too far in history or way too early in history. But I love that. I love that. That's very cute. It's a cute and like flirtatious little myth. When you drink out of an actual coupe glass, which I feel like most people think champagne is supposed to be poured in flutes, that's absolutely incorrect. Absolutely coupe glass. So yeah, now you know that there are a lot of famous women who might have possibly been the model for that lovely mimosa you were going to have at brunch. Speaking of Galentine's Day, so this was an amazing event that I just went to. Really great brunch. Everybody contributed really fantastic things. We had lots of quiche. There was a French toast casserole. I brought some waffles that I had made from a Kenji Lopez recipe. They are cheddar, scallion, and bacon waffles. It's on Serious Eats. They're pretty easy. And if you've ever heard me talk about it, I got my waffle iron on the street. It was a cast iron plated, like probably from the 70s, but it was very easy to fix and reseason. So I had to use it, of course, today to bring waffles to my ladies. But I walked away with a swag bag, and I think I'm going to unpack it now. I'm pretty excited. This may or may not have to do with food, but I got this very cute little bag here with me. And I know for a fact there's a zine in here produced by my friend Skylar, so I'm excited to look at that. So we're going to do a live unboxing on the radio, okay? The first thing is an extremely cute and tiny hand sanitizer. Amazing. I didn't know they came in this tiny of a little... a bottle? It's so cute. Anyway, hand sanitizer, lots of ladies' things. Ooh, refining gommage mask. If you're unfamiliar with gommage, check that out. It's like the best and most satisfying face product you can buy. It means, I think it means like stick or paste or something, glue. There's the translation in French makes sense. If you use one of these kind of masks, you like rub it all over your face and it balls up all the dead skin in your face. Very satisfying. Well, there's little gummy bears. It's very cute. Let's see. Oh, there's a candle, of course. Oh, and there are, oh, there's a holographic cat Valentine that says you're perfect. I love that. I'm going to put that on my desk. lots of little candies and an eraser. Very cute. One of the things I was very excited to get was my friend Skylar made this magazine. And they have been making these. I think they only have two so far. They're handmade about karaoke and karaoke songs, and they're topical. I will try to ask her where you can get these online, or if you can get set at PDF. This is a really cool, like, quoted from one piece of paper magazine. But I used to do, if you were, like, I don't know if you listened to Radio Free Brooklyn, like, 2 years ago, or 3 years ago, I don't even know, I used to do a karaoke radio show here called Empty Orchestra, so I'm really excited about this zine. And, yeah, some really great suggestions for different types of, feelings towards love, whether they're heartbreak, anger, romance, sorrow. This is really cute. Thank you, Skylar. Thank you, Roxanne. I'm super excited to get into those song picks. Speaking of which, I think I will take a short mic break and play you some of my favorite songs about love. We're going to hear from Sam Cooke and Al Green. Thank you so much for tuning in to Radio Free Brooklyn.
Here's another song that maybe you remember this one. Very nice little song, nice and sweet. It says, Cupid, draw back your bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me and Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. And now, I don't mean to bother you, but I'm in distress. There's danger of me losing all of my happiness. For I love a girl who doesn't know I exist, and this you can fix. So, Cupid, draw back the bow and let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me and the Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly, yeah, straight to my lover's heart for me, yeah. Shoo. Now, Cupid, if you ever make a love stone for me, I promise I will love her until eternity. I know between the two of us, her heart we can steal. So help me if you will. So, Cupid, draw back the bow and let your arrow shoot to my lover's heart for me. Nobody but me and the Cupid, please hear my cry and let your arrow fly straight to my lover's heart for me. Get it, baby, get it. Oh, Cupid, don't you hear me calling you? I need you, Cupid, why don't you hear me? You know I need you. I need you, Cupid. Help me, help me, help me, help me, Cupid, and take me straight to my lover's heart for me. Yeah, tip, 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 tip. Cupid, drop my cupid, let your arrow go straight to my lover's heart.
I love you.
Come on. Many gifts in Japan. Thank you.
We've been sitting here
so we can watch the show.
We're leaving so we can watch the show.
Let me say, huh?
fight for my life. Was everything a man would want to do. But I never see tomorrow. I was never told about my sorrow. Stop the rain from falling down. Tell me,
how can you stop
the sun from shining? Why don't you tell me
what makes the world go
round? Let me say this, la 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 la.
Thank you.
Not just in time. I found you just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost. The losing dice were tossed. My bridges all crossed. Nowhere to go. Now you're here, and now I know just where I'm going. No more doubt or fear. I found my way. Yes, love came just in time. I found just in time to change my lonely life. That lucky day, I'll swing me boy. Hey, just in time. I found just in time. Before you came, my time was running low. I was lost. The losing dice were tossed. My bridges all were crossed. Nowhere to go. I found my way. Ooh, love came just in time. I found just in time to change my lonely life. That lucky day. Ooh, just in time. I found it just in time to change my lonely life. That lucky day.
Just treated to Marvin Gaye doing Just in Time live. It's from Live at the Copa. Before that, Al Green, How Can You Mend a Broken Heart? One of my all-time favorites. Such a special song live. Just such a special voice. And then, of course, Cupid Live from One Night Stand by Sam Cooke. Some of my favorite things ever recorded in terms of love songs, but just in general also. In fact, I actually didn't know Marvin Gaye had done Just in Time cover. I'm really a big fan of the live Nina Simone version that she does, but we'll hear from her later, don't worry. Thanks so much for tuning in. This is Reciprocity Radio here on Radio Free Brooklyn. I am here every Sunday at 5 until 6, and I talk about food and cooking recipes and all kinds of things like that. Anything on your plate is pretty much what is game here, or anything in your glass. Awesome. I thought it'd be kind of fun, maybe, to read some horoscopes. This is a little bit of a tribute to another show I really like that's also by an independent radio station, although not here in Brooklyn, but actually out in San Francisco. There's BFF.FM, BFF.FM, and the show is called Astral Projection Radio Hour, and the two hosts of that are actually going to put out a book. I'm now panicking. I need to Google the information for the book. Astral Projection Radio Hour is like a show about all things occult and like mystic and spiritual and weird. Aliens are like all, it's really, really, really fun. And the hosts always do something called snack scopes on their show, which is they give you like a snack horoscope on every episode. It's amazing. It's definitely like something that I was like, oh, this is for me. I love this. And they are putting up a book. It's Beatrix Graves Guard and She-Wolf, and they're putting out, I believe it's the Astronomical Grimoire. Let me find the book title for you. Astrological Grimoire. Okay, so please check out Astral Projection Radio Hour at BFF FM. Great radio station name out there in San Francisco. They have such a great show, and I really, really, really can't wait for that book to come out. I'm super excited. So, in the spirit of snack horoscopes, I think I'm going to do some. I'm going to read you real horoscopes from yearlyhoroscope.org, and then maybe I'll suggest a snack, I guess. I don't know. Drink pairing? I didn't really think this through. But one of my favorite things, I'm really like, if you can't tell, a socially awkward person. And so I love to just like be like, oh, what sign are you at parties and stuff, because it always gets people to talk about themselves. It is a foolproof trick to get someone to like be like, but I have these traits. And it makes them talk so you don't have to really, but also it's just kind of funny. So I do it all the time. And I love to be like, oh, like, is your moon in Leo? Like that way. And I mean it genuinely. I'm not, I love astrology. It's great. It's a great way. Any tool out there in the world that helps you explore yourself in depth and try to understand things is great. You know, don't take it too extreme. Anyway, that's my party trick, so let's do that now. I didn't do it today, but I was casually looking around the room. It's like, there are beautiful gown pants, they French. Alright. Maybe I'll just describe each sign as a typical like a snack. I would say if Aries had a snack, it would be hot Cheetos. And the Aries horoscope for Valentine's Day 2019 is a powerful, passionate momentum is slowly building, full steam ahead. And throughout all of the months of 2019, a spiritual awakening is due to transform your existence as many dimensions of your fascinating personality suddenly blossom. Robust of spirit, born of fiery determination, the keywords for your rebellious heart are set me free. You have not climbed your highest mountain, and for the ardent ram in enduring love comes calling. Taurus, and that's me, I mean, I'm the person with the food show, we all knew that. I'm going to say a Taurus snack is like a really, like a somewhat fancy cheese plate. Like the cheese is fancy, but maybe like other things aren't, like the jam. I don't know, but it's probably an all-in like big jam from like figs you picked in your backyard and like some kind of cheese you got recommended at Whole Foods. And like some crackers from, I don't know. I personally love olives, so I'm going to say olives are on there. I love olives. So. Taurus, triumph over adversity, shout it out, I will survive. The deep midnight of your life shall come to pass. Well, that's a relief. Courage is a gift of this dynamic year, as you must be strong. Fast-moving events will have your life, have you living in the moment. Yield to impulse, that's not something I do. Not. enter the enchanted woods if you dare. Many conflicting stellar alignments are compelling you to change your course. You will become 1 year older and many years wiser. Intense love is richly deserved, but full of complexity. Okay. Now, Gemini is a sign personally I have difficulties with because I am an earth sign, and air signs are difficult, but I'm dating a Gemini, so, what's a good Gemini snack? Because I want to be like, it's the Sour Snakes from Haribo. Those are so good, and they're kind of like my favorite candy, if I had to have one. That's a sour, not chocolate. Gemini, anyway, I think you're the twin snakes from Haribo, which are delicious and awesome. Your restless soul shall pull up anchor, a time for a playful, wild abandon. Do not be bound by the past, innocent no more. Set a clear path, as 2019 is full of devilish twists and turns, yet bringing a wealth of experience, radiant nights, will, and ties. There is a turbulent beauty within the storm clouds, as this year forms for romantic decisions, giving birth to wondrous joys and building a lasting legacy. Harness your abundant energy and uncanny insights. And you gotta dance. I will say my Gemini partner is very into dancing. Cancer! Cancer is like so good. I feel like Cancer is like air pop popcorn that was made really lovingly. With like an air popper that was heirloom, which I do have, so it's personal to me, but not. I would say, yeah, it's like, made from an air popper. Maybe the kernels of the corn are like heirloom or something. And then it's like made for you personally. It's not a microwave bag of popcorn. It was like made with love. Separation, or maybe like a really nicely made grilled cheese, but someone else has made it for you, or Cancer made it for you. So very caring. Separations will change the way you look at things. Becoming the talk of the town, a year like no other is quick to unfold, dazzling all of us along the way. An unfairly handsome heart seeks you out, especially in the spring. Your intuitive, alert sensitivities are poised for greatness and vast applause. Nevertheless, realize that all is not fair in love and war. A unique destiny is determined to emerge, inheriting riches, regal sophistication, a private passion at the crossroads. Okay. Okay, Leo snack has to be like, it's gotta be Instagrammable. It's gotta be aesthetic. I'm gonna think it's like a really cool shaved ice, like lots of things. But I was also immediately drawn to the idea of like snow cone, the rainbow snow cone. It's like old school, but very beautiful. I think that's the Leo snack. I don't know. You mighty lion shall roar. Because it's the sun, it's a July to August. It's gotta be like a hot, beautiful, refreshing, interesting thing. So I'm gonna go with rainbow snow cone. The mighty lion shall roar, finding favor with ancient gods, entertaining a world stage. Life would have no charm without you around. The sign of royalty has seen it all, and has been much maligned, but no more. An unusual excitement follows you through 2019, a time to heal your wounded heart. Nothing will be halfway, and a few will be able to keep pace with you, so let them fall behind. Demonstrating an inhuman calm and amid the chaos. Romance is sure to surprise. So, Leo, I think that sounds pretty good. Virgo, it's so hard because like Virgos are sensitive, but they're so practical. So I would think it would be like another Taurus line of thinking, like a cheese board, but like very thought through. Like Taurus would be like, I've got all these things and like throw them on a plate and got, of course, a ton of snacks around. Like I have like so many different types of things that would probably fit on a cheese board in my fridge or dry pantry. A Virgo would be like, I got this like beautiful salami, and it's come from this region that I went to, and I have a wine to pair with it. It's very, very, very thoughtful. Prepare if you can for a whirlwind of far-reaching happenings. Covering new ground, great has been your pain, so realize from now on you must do it your way. Come out from hiding as 2019 rings in a season of social popularity. A youthful vigor cause your heart to strain. Examine your conscience, the painfully sharp edges of reality, daring to envision so much more as you exercise your stupendous talents. Shocking revelations and secrets explored bring you enlightenment. Libra, my sister sign in being ruled by Venus. I don't know. I think you're like a Chex Mix. Maybe you're like a bunch of chips in a bowl mixed together, or you're a full spread of snacks like chocolate pretzels, but like other things. Can't really choose, and that's a problem for you, but I think that's great because you understand the value of everything. I understand that. So that's... I'm really going in on these horoscopes. I hope you're listening out there. I'm not insulting any signs. I really don't mean to. Libra, I don't know so much about. I have a couple friends that are Libras, but mostly it's Mitski and Bruce Springsteen are both Libras, and that's really, that kind of says it all to me. They're a very romantic summary. So Libra, with your various choices of chips and chocolate cream pretzels, maybe like a reasonable seltzer, maybe something else that's like kind of citrusy, so all the notes are met so that you're balanced. Ready or not, romance is in the air. Having the time of your life, past struggles were a necessary spiritual cleansing. The drama of 2019 is upon you as you blossom with an unusual sex appeal. Entering the spring of your life, you could attract fair weather friends. The social bon vivant is free to wander far from the ordinary. Taste the forbidden fruit as temptation sizzle, to be granted every wish in a land in flame. Scorpios. One of my favorite signs and my opposite sign. I don't know. What is your snack choice? You're probably like so dark. I feel like it's like super bitter chocolate, but also maybe not. Maybe it's something like goldfish crackers. Maybe it's like, I don't know. In my head, I'm thinking it's a Negroni with a side of goldfish crackers, because a Negroni is like bitter and dark and beautiful and warm, and goldfish crackers are kind of effervescent. And you're a water sign, even though no one would ever have guessed. Believing in the cult of experience, you shall attract a wealthy following to the top of the mountain and back again is your spiritual pilgrimage. As the dying century brings to you a peak performance, elegantly entertaining and ahead of your time, an irresistible karmic love stares you in the eye. With vigor and candor, you approach the dawn, as 2019 has the warrior within poised to tackle new battles, eager to liberate taboos. A fearless heart. Way to go, Scorpio. I'm excited for you. Sagittarius is a sign that I do not know many people in, but I feel like it's very explorative and excited and like always moving and into knowledge. And so, I don't know. It's a Sagittarius snack. I feel like it's like something very weird. Not weird, but like exciting. Like maybe they're ahead of the food trend. So I'm not sure what to prescribe here. I'm going to say the Sagittarius is definitely eating something that will probably be popular in a few months on Instagram or some other thing. And we don't know what it is yet because they're always ahead of the curve. Moving towards rapid, radical change, attracting fascinating companions along the way, you may rightfully feel as if you have been subjected to an unfair inquisition. Regardless, competitive optimism abounds. Pulsating with sensual discovery, you need not go it alone. Exploring the dark side of the moon will have its secretive rewards. As if leaving on a jet plane, you have miles to go before sleep. Gaining insight along the way, you embrace true love. I'm going to round it out. We have Capricorn, Aquarius, and Pisces. Capricorn is one of my favorites. Obviously, I'm an earth sign, so I'm really inclined. I'm going to say it's a... It's so bad that I'm like, every earth sign has a cheese board. I think a Capricorn is a really, balanced and caring meal. I want to say like dried fruit, dried nuts, maybe a hard cheese, and a thoughtful quart. But I could be totally wrong. I don't know, man. Capricorns are amazing. Go for it. Be spoiled. As you have been in neglect long enough, awaken the wild heart. Once you are the ultimate life of the party, time to crack the whip. As 2019 excites an arousing spunk and sparkle, as you are about to move forward away from the shadows. Disruptions are to be expected, and avoid wandering down abandoned roads. February dictates resurgence, and for you, you are truly the comeback kid. With cunning and sting, you possess the power behind the scenes. Escape from the ordinary. I'm going to revise that. I'm going to say Capricorn is like a homemade biscuit with like hot honey. That works for me. It's effort, but also like simple and perfect. Aquarius. My mom and my best friend from high school are both this sign, and I will never totally fully understand. Of course I can't. I'm an earth. I'm an immovable mountain of earth sign in my whole chart. So I don't necessarily get that. Aquarius, what are you? You're something really good. You are I don't know, think of the most beautiful dessert you've ever had at a fancy restaurant. I think that's it. But you're not feeling fancy. You're just eating it because you deserve it. I think that's what it is. I think it's something with like flower petals, and it's decadent and inventive and light. Not overwhelming, but very, 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 very thoughtfully conceived and satisfied. That's what you're having. rapid ascendancy into the bewitching spotlight, an appetite for fame, exceptional power plays, and there are exceptional power plays. Ultimatums are to be avoided as your eccentric genius leaps to center stage. Unpredictable, that's what you are. Traveling at the speed of light, your social calendar sizzles with the bold, vibrant activities. Sudden shifts are to be expected, as 2019 will demand your experience the full and dramatic tilt of the uranium pendulum. Nothing is forever, and fame can be ever so fleeting. Pisces. I don't know, Pisces are so lovely. And that's my moon. And I want to say they're like eating something really effervescent or ephemeral, which like makes me want to think like, oh, they're eating whipped cream or something, but I don't know if that's fair. I don't know. A Pisces is probably eating something they cooked for someone they love. And they're just sharing it. I think that's what Pisces would do. It's probably like a really simple mac and cheese and maybe like a beer from the local wedding. But I think that's nice. Because they're sharing. Because they're very, very, very intuitive. Lovely sign. Radiant and everlasting, your romantic soul hears a sacred voice. Do as the heart tells you. A karmic bond is to be felt. And it must be taken to completion. Remove bitterness from the bedrooms of your past so that psychic scars can heal. Let the wounded sexual rebel out, as an invigorating quest demands your total participation. Feel the magic of spring, as a compelling desire is certain to change the course of your fate. Take the road less traveled. Okay, so I hope those were kind of somewhat cognizant for all of you out there, even if you're not familiar with Zodiac. I always really love the Snack Scopes on Astral Projection Radio Hour, so please check them out. It's such a great show. And please check out the Astrological Grimoire, which won't be released until April, I believe. You can pre-order it all over the place. You can pre-order it from your local store, I'm sure. Check it out, Astrological Grimoire. It's Beatrix Gravesgard and She-Wolf. They're awesome ladies doing an awesome show in San Francisco. And I hope they don't mind that I borrowed their their snack bits, but they just do incredible stuff. So, okay, I'm going to take us to another short set of love songs, and then I'll come back. We're going to talk about chocolate and aphrodisiacs, and I will be here until 6 p.m. I hope you're enjoying listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We are a nonprofit, volunteer-based radio station, so please check out radiofreebrooklyn.org. All your donations are tax-deductible. We have a really brilliant program going on called Teens Take the Mic. So please check it out. And up next, we're going to have Candy Stanton.
I'd rather be lonely than to lose you. I'd rather be blue than to be all alone. 'Cause if you leave me, my heart would grieve me, and my poor heart, no, no, just couldn't stand the pain. Though your love has got me in captivity, you should leave me.
Just a prisoner. Prince, for you, good love.
LaSalle with Trap by a Thing Called Love. Before that, Candy Stanton with I'm Just a Prisoner of Your Good Lovin'. This is Reciprocity Radio closing out. We have about 15 minutes left here. Thanks so much for tuning in to Radio Free Brooklyn. Got a little bit of good news for you about chocolate. If you're either someone who thinks you're going to get gifted chocolate, if you're giving someone chocolate, if you're just ardently waiting until February 15th so that you can swipe up the sale Valentine's Day chocolate. No judgment. I'm a big fan. That's pretty much like my favorite dessert. It's a good swear of something really dark and bitter. And it really does feel so good to eat. So I was curious about that and I looked it up. So let's find out now. More about why chocolate's actually kind of okay. Or it's fine. Eat whatever you want. Just, you know, obviously, within reason. In the mid-1970s, psychologist Merrill Elias began tracking the cognitive abilities of more than 1,000 people in the New York State area. The goal was fairly specific: to observe the relationship between people's blood pressure and brain performance. And for decades, that's what happened. Eventually expanding into the Maine Syracuse Longitudinal Study, or the MSLS, to observe other cardiovascular risk factors, including diabetes, obesity, and smoking. There was never an inkling that this research would lead to any sort of discovery about chocolate. And yet, 40 years later, it seems to have done just that. Late in the study, Elias and his team had an idea. Why not ask the participants what they were also eating? It wasn't too unreasonable to ask or to wonder if what someone might eat would add to the discussion. Diets, after all, had been shown to affect the risk factors that they were already monitoring. Plus, they had a large pool of participants at their disposal and a perfect chance to learn a bit more about the decisions people were making about food. Researchers incorporated a new questionnaire into the sixth wave of their data collection, which spanned about 5 years between 2001 and 2006. The questionnaire gathered all sorts of information about the dietary habits of the participants, and the dietary habits of the participants revealed an interesting pattern. We found that people who ate chocolate at least once a week tend to perform better cognitively. It's significant. It touches on a number of cognitive domains. The findings chronicled in a new study published very recently come largely thanks to the interest of George Crichton, a nutrition researcher at the University of South Australia, who led the analysis. Others have previously shown that eating chocolate is correlated with various positive health outcomes, but few explored the treat's effect on the brain and the brain's behavior, and even fewer had observed the effect of habitual chocolate consumption. This, Crichton knew, was a unique opportunity. Not only was the sample size large, a shade under 1,000 people, but the cognitive data was perhaps the most comprehensive study ever undertaken. In the first two analyses, Crichton, along with Elias and Alette, Alwaries, who is an epidemiologist of the Luxembourg Institute of Health, compared the means scores on various cognitive tests of participants who responded and reported that they were eating chocolate less than once a week against those who were reporting to eat it more than once a week. And they found significant positive associations between chocolate intake and the cognitive performance, associations which held even after adjusting for various variables that might have skewed the results, including age, education, cardiovascular risk factors, and dietary habits. In scientific terms, eating chocolate was significantly associated with superior visual, spatial memory and organization, working memory, scanning and tracking, abstract reasoning, and the mini mental state examination. So, there you go. It's proven by science that eating chocolate is possibly going to boost your cognitive function. I think that's pretty remarkable. And I also just think when you eat, like, not like a Milky Way, not like a Kit Kat, not like, not milk chocolate, not like the wax stuff that's out there. When you eat a really nice, really good, dark chocolate, there is something. Like, your brain just kind of feels like it's, like, full of magic. I don't know. I definitely understand the feeling, and it's why I kind of, if you ever, I hope you never have to look in my fridge because it's a mess, but if you did, you'd see that there are, like, at least always, like, one or two different chocolate bars, like, at the top, and they're always, like, kind of half-eaten, and there's always something I can, like, pull out and have a square of. I think that's, like, the best, but I really, really love it as an after-dinner thing. It's, like, more satisfying to me in many levels than any other type of sweets. But then again, I did a little dabbling in making confections for a while, so I kind of broke my sweet tooth with pretty much just, like, bitter things now. Anyway, I do want to mention Galentine's Day, which is what I attended earlier, and I have a little bit of M.K. Fisher talking here that I would like to play for you. Galentine's Day was an episode of Parks and Rec. It was the 16th episode of the second season, and now it's a thing that women all over celebrate. I think that's really awesome. It even has its own Wikipedia page. It is traditionally celebrated on February 13th. It was implemented by the main character, which was played by Amy Poehler, called Leslie Knope. And it is like a sweet thing. It was like girls doing brunch. Even at this age, I still feel bitterness towards this holiday, which we were relentlessly forced to participate in like my schools. I don't know if that's the same experience you guys had all through middle school and high school and kindergarten even. Like, you gotta bring in treats, you gotta write Valentine's to everybody. It's a lot. It's a lot. It's a little too much. But I'm definitely also on the team, like, team romance, team tell people that you love them. So I'm not against it, but also I always try to think of it as a time to, like, do something sweet for my friends too. So I was very happy to have that also done for me by my friend Maxanne, who also did this Galentine's Day brunch earlier, and it was so lovely to connect and talk to everyone and, like, share food and hang out and talk about, you know, what it's like being a woman in the world. It was really fun. Right now I'm going to play you a little clip from MFK Fisher. I have previously played this on my Matriarchs of Food episode, but she's just my favorite food writer, and of course was introduced to me by my very good friend Nicole Jaslani in Chicago, whose birthday is very soon, in the next week, actually. Anyway, let's hear from MFK on MFK Fisher on love in general, but also why women are so wonderful. Thank you for listening to Reciprocity Radio.
Which causes me to remember something you said or wrote once about women having an inner language that was peculiarly their own. You remember writing that?
No.
Do you think that's true?
Yes, I do, yes. Often they don't express it, though they understand it, but they don't express it. Yes, I do think there's an entente between men too. Women never understand.
An entente?
Yes. There's something, you could be with a man and he would understand something about him that I would never get.
And yet I think my best friends, many of my best friends are women, even though I don't feel that entente toward them that I do toward old, dear male friends?
I like men very much, but I think men are less interesting than women in general.
Why?
They're more limited.
In what sense?
Well, they don't feel the same pain. They don't have the same endurance. They don't know the same things women know.
What makes the pain of women so particular?
Childbirth, for instance, is something that is just taken naturally by natural women. We make an awful lot of fuss about it now, but we don't need to, you know. Natural function of a woman is to bear, to man begets a woman, to gets her a child, and then she has a child. It's a moment of ecstasy, usually, for a man, and for the woman, too, if they're good. And the woman goes on, she bears a child 9 months, and she has to rear it. I think that does something to deepen, to make more real life, too. I don't think that is very real to most men. Do you?
I'm afraid we live too much in worlds that have been constructed for us, organizations that we didn't create.
Unfortunately, women will always kowtow to men, though.
Why?
I don't know. I hate it.
You hated it?
I hate the subservience of women to men. Because I think one reason we're in such a mess now is because of men. In politics, yet women are terrible politicians. Most feminists they become strident, you know, they raise their voices. I don't like that. Because I'm a good one to talk now because I couldn't raise my voice if I wanted to. But
you've lived single for 40 years now. Is that by choice?
Well, I've been single. I've had several good affairs. I don't believe in marriage much.
Why?
I think it's silly.
No, well, you've got to explain that. Too many of us are married to be silly.
It's wonderful. The best thing I can think of is to live with somebody and go through thick and thin together and then come out the end and have good years of love and whatever is left.
So is marriage just a device?
Largely now, I think. Doesn't keep enough people together, though.
No.
It's easy to get divorced. But I don't know. I'm a poor one to talk about, I think.
Why is that? Because you have such strong feelings about marriage, negative feelings about marriage.
I was married to a very good man. He was the son of a Presbyterian minister, and I was terrified the whole time. He'd suddenly feel that he had to become a clergyman.
That would have been hell?
Would have been for me, because I couldn't ever be a clergyman's wife. And
I'm not sure you could be anybody's wife.
I don't think I could. I divorced two men, and then my second husband killed himself. That was justified, I feel.
I've, just from reading your stories, I've had the sense that he was your only true love.
Yes, he was. I fell in love with him the first time I saw him, I think, for a second. I knew then it was hopeless, but it never occurred to me to get divorced or anything. Or tell anybody, you know. So I was the first person in my family to get divorced.
I came across a simple declarative sentence in a story about you. It said simply, she married the painter, Dilwyn Parrish, who died in 1941. That's all. You know, just a deep, passionate saga reduced to one declarative sentence.
That's okay. I like it that way.
You have a great capacity to love?
Yes, I do. I don't love unquestioningly, but I love completely. And I think I learned a lot of that from Timmy Parrish. He taught me how to love because he knew we wouldn't be married very long.
When you married, were you aware that he was ill?
No.
Was he?
No, but we learned it soon after.
Did he take his life because he was so ill?
Oh, yes. He did have Berger's disease, which in the Kingdom of England were the only people then. There were only 37 identified cases in the whole world.
What do they call it?
Berger's disease.
What?
It's like a cancer of the blood. He was doomed. He was so doomed. Because he had a wonderful heart, very strong heart, beating it. It's called the Lodge Heart. Quite infamous and famous in medicine, mentioned often by great American doctors as Lodge Heart. Lodge, L-O-D-G. Uncle Boney had, his mother had, and he had. He would have gone on beating, his heart would have gone on beating, he was a doctor.
That was M.F.K. Fisher talking about love and marriage and her affairs. Thank you so much for tuning in to Reciprocity Radio. Please keep listening to Radio Free Brooklyn. We have an event tomorrow night. I'm going to announce very quickly. At the Pine Box Rock Shop, which is on 12 Grattan Street, there is a comedy event happening. Storytelling comedians. It's going to be really fun. It's going to be from 9 p.m. on February 11th at the Pine Box Rock Shop. Please stay tuned for Into Them. Thanks so much for listening to Radio Free Brooklyn.